On Tech News Today, Facebook will buy WhatsApp, Yahoo is working on a Siri-like assistant, and a Google Now smartwatch is coming next week. We're not from Google. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Thursday, February 20th, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. This episode is brought to you by Scotty Vest, technology-enabled clothing to carry all of your gadgets. Visit scottyvest.com/twit now through February 24th to save 40% off 14 of their best sellers. That's scottyvest.com/twit and use the code TWIT13 at checkout. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT2. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the most important stories of the day in conversation with the world's leading journalists. Our guest today is Jessica Lessen, the founder and editor-in-chief of The Information. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Now, just before we get into the news, I just wanted to talk about The Information a little bit. So you're a fairly new site, and you have an interesting model. You don't have any ads, right?
Exactly. So we're a subscription service for the sole reason that we want to aim high and write stories that are worth paying for and that are sort of different from the day-to-day tech news out there. We launched in December. We're delighted with the growth, and we encourage everyone to check us out at theinformation.com. You can try us for a month or go for a year, and we're trying to write stories that are going sort of more inside the strategy, more inside what's really going on in the industry, as well as some analysis and breaking news.
Well, I'm enjoying it. It's great content, and it's worth paying for. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where you guys take it. Let's get right into the news. Facebook plans to buy...
Thank you.
Great. Facebook plans to buy WhatsApp for as much as $19 billion. The Silicon Valley-based messaging app has 450 million users. The app costs 99 cents a year to use, but the first year is free. Facebook will pay $4 billion in cash plus $12 billion worth of Facebook stock, and WhatsApp employees and founders will get $3 billion worth of restricted stock units that will vest over 4 years. With us to analyze this story is Reed Albergati, a technology reporter with The Wall Street Journal. Welcome, Reed.
Thanks for having me.
So why did Facebook do this?
You know, I think Facebook saw this as an opportunity to expand its user base all over the world in a major way very quickly. Of course, it's sort of an interesting move for them. WhatsApp, as Mark Zuckerberg said on a conference call yesterday, is a totally different sort of business, or at least Facebook envisions it as a different business. It's not going to have ads. It's going to be a subscription service. So it's a very big bet.
Yeah, very big. This is just an enormous... I remember people being outraged when they thought that Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion. Turns out the price was somewhat less than that. And here we are with this app that really doesn't have a lot of mind share relative to other apps in the United States. It's enormous in many countries around the world. But it seems to me that part of the strategy is that when people leave Facebook and go to some of these smaller social networks or messaging apps, Facebook tries or succeeds in buying them. Is that really the strategy?
Well, look, I think Facebook realizes that, you know, it tried with its own messaging app, which if you look at the numbers around the world, you know, the Facebook Messenger is just nowhere near the penetration of apps like WhatsApp. And, you know, in order to really grow in that area, it had to acquire. And you're right. I mean, the $1 billion deal, you know, made in 2012 with Instagram is just completely dwarfed by this. And I think it's also just a sign of the astronomical valuations in Silicon Valley right now. So, you know, some investors were scratching their heads. I mean, you saw Facebook stock drop about 3% in after-hours trading after this deal. So, you know, it's certainly Facebook has a lot to prove in the following years that this was the right deal.
You know, Jessica, go ahead, Jessica. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't think we can think of WhatsApp as just this, you know, feature that Facebook wanted. I mean, in the sense that social networks and messaging platforms are head-on competitors in much of the world. And that might not be the case in the U.S. necessarily, but it's certainly the case in throughout Asia and elsewhere. And we had some data showing that, you know, WhatsApp's penetration in India or popularity in India, you know, is orders and orders of magnitude, sort of like 56% say that WhatsApp is
one of the things that I
sent or so say Facebook. So
mm-hmm. You're kind of coming and going Jessica. I'm sorry to cut in there. Your Skype connection is coming and going. Hopefully it'll pick up again. But I just wanted to.
Jess is right. I mean, she's completely right about that. It's a direct competitor, especially when you talk about other messaging apps around the world, like WeChat, which is huge in China. I mean, it doesn't just offer messaging. It's a social network. You know, people are gaming on these apps. They're doing all sorts of things that it really it's a replacement for Facebook. So I completely agree with that point.
One interesting fact that I've discovered in all of this is that one estimate says that more people share or there are more photographs shared via WhatsApp than Facebook itself, which is pretty astonishing. But one of the things that seems risky to me about this acquisition for Facebook is that WhatsApp is in many ways the anti-Facebook. There's no advertising. They don't store or harvest the personal data other than the phone number. They're really good about not violating privacy and having a very, very simple user interface, simple privacy settings. It's really the opposite of Facebook. Won't users, once they realize that Facebook owns the company, won't some of them want to kind of bail and move to another app?
I saw people saying that on Twitter today. I mean, I did a search this morning. And, you know, there were people saying, look, now that Facebook owns this WhatsApp, I'm no longer going to use it. Now, they said the same thing when Instagram was acquired, and that didn't really happen. So I think that concern may be a bit overblown. But what I think is really fascinating is that Facebook is so powerful because we've all spent so many years on the service and built this network all within Facebook. WhatsApp uses your existing address book to develop your social network. And that's a little less, you know, sticky, as they like to say in the Valley, because another company can come in. In fact, other companies do this. You know, they use your address book to do essentially the same thing. So we could be looking at a reality where, you know, we all use many messaging apps on our phone, and we're sort of agnostic about which one, you know, we're going to use to communicate with whoever might have it installed.
And Mike, to get to your point about what Facebook is, I mean, I think you raise a great point. We've thought of Facebook as this advertising-based network where we go to post and share things with our friends. But clearly with this deal, with the Instagram deal, with some things like Internet.org that Mark's doing and trying to connect all the world, I mean, I think there is this question of how are we to sort of think of this company? And I actually think the same can be said of Google right now. And that's one of the things that's so exciting about the tech space is we're seeing these companies go from sort of one product businesses that have huge adoption and penetration to really platforms or conglomerates or holding companies or something else.
Yeah. And this was people think that Facebook has tons and tons of money, and they do really, but this was an expensive acquisition. For example, Facebook had $7.9 billion in revenue last year. So this is the price of this alone, if you cashed out the stock part of it, would be several years of Facebook revenue. So that's pretty astonishing. Another interesting trivia point in all this is that Brian Acton, who's one of the two founders of WhatsApp, actually applied for a job at Facebook in 2009 and was turned down. At the time, he probably thought that was a terrible thing, but now he's working at Facebook, and he's also a billionaire. So that's a very nice nice way to enter into Facebook. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this deal is that, you know, you have a very strange model. It seems to me that the model and where the model applies around the world is kind of unsustainable. So, again, as I said earlier in the report, the model is that it costs 99 cents a year, and then the first year is free. And that sounds like a really low amount of money, but in the places where this is popular, paying anything for an app like this is going to be kind of a lot of money. In some places in around the world, in Asia, you know, a dollar a year is more than people are used to paying for what would otherwise be free apps. And most of the competitors to this are free, and they may prefer advertising. So I wonder what happens around the year when they get to that 1 year, around the world, when they get to that 1 year point and it's time to pony up the 99 cents, especially given the enormous number of competitors. For example, one analyst counted the number of alternatives to WhatsApp on the Google Play Store that have more than a million downloads, and the number was over 50. So this is a very active category. Do you really think that people will stick around over the long term, even as they are asked to pay what seems like a small amount, 99 cents? What do you think, Jessica?
I think it sort of doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think Facebook bought WhatsApp for its revenue stream today or in the near term or the midterm. They bought it because they think it's a service that could be a billion users, like what it is. And I think that what's more important is having that footprint and that network. And it will be interesting to see what happens on the business model. I think there's no reason to sort of rock the boat on it now. But I don't think it will sort of matter what the revenue from WhatsApp is coming in terms of strategically what WhatsApp can mean to Facebook.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, we're going to talk about Google's kind of failed attempt to either acquire or prevent a company like Facebook from acquiring WhatsApp in just a sec. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor today, which is Scotty Vest. You're probably asking yourself, man, why does Mike look so good today? Bet you were asking yourself that. And the reason is I'm wearing a Scotty vest. This is called a Fleece 7.0. It's version 7.0 of the Fleece. And this is a Scotty vest product. This product has gazillions of pockets. Now I'm going to stand up. Do you have a camera for this?
Yeah, I do.
Jason, I wonder if I can do the microphone here. But I'm going to stand up here and show this to you. So this is a very, very cool product. I'm going to open this up and show you all these pockets that are in here. This is fantastic. If you can work in alternative locations, I'm going to go ahead and sit down for the microphone. You can work in alternative locations like Starbucks or even around the world. You are a digital nomad, and you need to bring your office with you. And Scotty Vest is kind of a necessary thing. Now, I personally don't carry a lot of stuff. I just carry the bare necessities. For example, I carry my phone here in this pocket. You probably can't see it. But since so much of the phones these days and apps are voice controlled, I can use my phone without even taking it out of my pocket. Okay, Google, now, what is Scotty Vest?
Wait for it. There we go.
Scotty Vest designs and manufactures a full line of clothing with a
comfort. Okay, we get the idea. And so I can use this without even taking it out of my pocket, especially if I use what they call the personal area network that's built into Scotty Vest clothing. What that means is that Inside the clothing are places where you can run your earbuds, you can run cables to charging batteries, packs, and so on, which is fantastic when you're going around. I'm a Google Glass user. The battery in that thing lasts about 2 hours. If I don't carry a battery pack with me, I really can't use it all day. Scotty Vest enables me to do that. And again, I don't really have a lot of needs for tons and tons of stuff. I just use the basics. Jason, if you could put the camera on me for a second. So, for example, I carry around just basic things like my iPad, which fits easily in a pocket. I have this gigantic pen that I use. It has a sort of a special stylus in it, weighs about a pound, but it's an awesome pen. And of course, I'm a writer, so that the keyboard built into the iPad is not great. So I carry this easily inside Scotty Vest. I can carry Google Glass. I can carry all my chargers, including the charger for my laptop. So this is a fantastic product. And one of the things that's great about it, and this is kind of a shocking guarantee that I've never heard any other company make, Scotty Vest actually has a pickpocket guarantee. So if you get jacked and something gets stolen from one of the pockets inside of a Scotty Vest product, they'll reimburse you up to $1,000. Now, this happened to me about less than a year ago. I was in Spain. I didn't have enough pockets to hold my phone. I gave it to my wife. She put it in her purse, and it got stolen. I should have been wearing a Scotty Vest garment, and I would have been guaranteed to not be ripped off. Now, Scotty Vest is more than just vests, of course. They make high-quality hoodies, jackets, shirts, pants, and other items for men and women to carry their gadgets and gear in style. And I mentioned the personal area network. That's really a fantastic thing, because if you walk around with earbuds, if you want to charge things, it's great to not have cables everywhere. getting in your way and being annoying. Scotty Vess has sold over 10 million pockets total. They have a number of sale items. Now, there's a really, really amazing sale because it's the 13th anniversary. It's 40% off the sale of 14 of their best-selling items. That's through February 24th. And these include men and women's trenches, Scotty Vess's new puffer jackets, Fleece 7.0, which is the one that I'm wearing now, cardigans, bamboo polos, performance T-shirts. I'm wearing a performance T-shirt under this vest right now, which has two really cool pockets in it, and it's a great workout shirt. This is a fantastic deal. I've never seen a deal like this ever. So the 13th anniversary is going to really be some give you some really great savings on some great products. So visit scottyvest.com/twit to check out all the great Scotty Vest products that you can buy for 40% off during this sale. And make sure you use promo code TWIT13 at checkout. That's TWIT13 for Scotty Vest's 13th anniversary. But you only have till 9 p.m. Mountain Time on February 24th to take advantage of this incredible sale. And, of course, if you're watching or listening to this recording later and you missed it, make sure to check them out anyway. Scott Jordan of Scotty Vest said he would put up other great deals for the Twit Army, and they feature different sale items for about 20% off. So even if you're late for the big 40% off sale, go there anyway. Go to scottyvest.com/twit. Use the code TWIT13 even after the sale is over. But do try to get there before the sale is over, because this is a fantastic deal, and we thank Scotty Vest for their support of Twit. Well, Facebook wasn't the only deep pocket Silicon Valley giant interested in grabbing WhatsApp. In an exclusive written for the information, Amir Afradi, we learned that Google took an unusual approach to WhatsApp, an approach that didn't work out too well. Jessica, can you tell us what Google tried to do and to make sure that a company like Facebook wouldn't come along and acquire WhatsApp?
Absolutely. So what Amir reported is quite interesting, that Google had offered 6 months or so ago to pay WhatsApp for the right to be notified if someone else was trying to buy it. So sort of pure defense, give us a heads up if someone else is in the mix. And we understand that WhatsApp rebuffed this offer, but I think it really shows the stakes, the competition. Google had been interested in WhatsApp for years, made many overtures over the years for deals and the other sorts. But this struck us as sort of unusual and a sign of really how competitive the deal market between Google and Facebook in particular has become.
I'm curious why WhatsApp wasn't more interested in working with Google. It seems to me that they would want to keep that option open.
I think it's an interesting question. I think you also have to separate sort of that deal structure from Google, the company. I mean, when Amir talked to M&A lawyers about this right of notice, I mean, they raised the point that it would be kind of unusual for a company that didn't need the money to take the money and then maybe, you know, lose some competitive bidding power down the line by giving Google some information. So I think that particular scenario probably boiled down to just the structure. You know, I think it's interesting to maybe we'll learn more about WhatsApp and Google or Facebook and what's really driving that. Obviously, we know what was said yesterday about why WhatsApp found Facebook a good fit.
Now, how big of a loss do you think this is for Google? I mean, does this put them at a competitive disadvantage? I know they came out with their own Hangouts app, which does some of the things that WhatsApp does, but it really, you know, it doesn't have very many users and it's not a super compelling app. What do you think Google's going to try to do to counter this now that they've lost WhatsApp to Facebook?
It's a good question. I mean, Google has so many different products in the social and messaging space. I think and as we mentioned before, as a messaging platform, WhatsApp is strategic as, you know, a platform for distribution of apps, as a social network, as a messaging platform. I think Google's going to have to continue to double down and invest in Google Plus, which, you know, hasn't proven to be a place that a lot of people go to as a destination, but is serving as a glue between lots of different Google services and contacts and sort of building that network. So I imagine the company's just going to have to continue to invest in that, which they have been regardless.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, I think we lost Reed, unfortunately, but I wanted to thank him on air for showing up today. You can find Reed at The Wall Street Journal, or also on Twitter at Reed Albergotti with two T's at the end. Well, Yahoo is funding research to develop a Siri-like virtual assistant. The company's made a $10 million grant to Carnegie Mellon University for a project called InMind. With us to discuss this is Jason Abrazizi, a reporter for Mashable. Jason, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mike.
So what do we know about the project so far?
What we know right now is that it has a lot to do with being able to talk to your phone and being able to interact with your phone in a very natural way. And it also has a lot to do with your phone learning, about your patterns, about what you do on a day-to-day basis, and using that to help inform the answers that the phone will eventually give you when you ask it questions.
Now, is there any funding for this project besides Yahoo's funding?
Not that we know of. Obviously Apple has their version of Siri, and there are various other startups that have focused on voice technology and contextual search. But as far as any deals with other universities, I don't think we're aware of any at this point.
Now, Jessica, this is a five-year project. Isn't that a little late to catch up with Siri and Google now? It sounds like a kind of a little too little too late.
In some ways, I also think, though, it depends on what's most interesting to me about this is what's the differentiation going to be? How is it going to be different? I mean, I do think we're at the very beginning of the curve of what these personal intelligent assistants can do. We have the Siri model. We have the Google Now model. If Yahoo were to come up with something that was sort of game-changing, I think this is really early days for the technology. I would just ask, how they're going to pull that off. There are some very bright minds at Apple and some very bright minds at Google who have been sort of on this, who have the install bases to learn from it, who have the data to sort of synthesize to make these things useful, which I think is a key criteria for differentiation. So plenty of time to be bold in the space. I just wondering what technology and services they're going to bring to bear to make it stand out.
Now, Jason, the two principal researchers behind this project started out with Kalo, I think it's called, C-A-L-O, which is a Pentagon project. And this is the same project where Siri came from. Is that your understanding as well? And what is this Kalo project anyway?
As far as I understand it, these kind of projects are based on trying to, bridge the gap between human and computer interfaces. So instead of typing, at some point, hopefully we'll be able to interact in an almost natural way that will, allow them to, communicate with us as much as we're communicating with them.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining us, Jason, and explaining this interesting project. I don't think this is getting enough press out there, and I'm glad you wrote about it very nicely on Mashable. So thank you for joining us today.
Great. Thanks so much.
You can find Jason on Mashable.com and also on Twitter at Jason Abrazizi. I better spell his last name, Abrazizese. And thanks again, Jason. Well, Microsoft changed the name of its Office web apps to Office Online, plus added some new features. With us to explain this is Lance Whitney, who writes for CNET. Welcome, Lance.
Mike, how are you?
So what did they change? First of all, why did they change the name, I guess, is the first question.
Yeah, that's a good question. There was a blog post from Microsoft late yesterday that provided a pretty good explanation for it. The company said that a lot of the users of Office web apps were confused about how to actually access the program because it had the word apps in there. Apparently, many of them thought that this is an actual app that needed to be downloaded from some kind of mobile app store. So the branding of the name was a little bit confusing to a lot of people, it seems. So Office Online is obviously a much more natural and much more user-friendly term for it because you just go online to access the software. So that's what Microsoft, that was the justification that Microsoft used for rechristening it.
So what did they change besides the name?
Besides the name, they added a few new simple but cool little features here and there. One of the problems that you had with Office web apps before is that people had to go directly to their SkyDrive, now OneDrive storage space, to be able to open a document and then have the choice of opening the document in Office web apps. So that whole process was a little bit awkward and a little bit confusing beforehand. Now there's just a dedicated startup page for Office Online. So all you need to do is go to that startup page, and tap on an icon for whichever app you want to open. So, for example, if you want to create a Word document using the online version of Word, you just click on the icon for that program, and it takes you right there. So the startup page provides a much more direct and easier way of launching the software. So that was one interesting and one very useful change to it. Another thing that they did was there's now a new toolbar accessible from any of the Office Online applications. And the toolbar gives you access to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote. It also gives you access to your Microsoft Calendar, your contacts, and a couple of other different features. So in the past, it was kind of cumbersome to jump from one app to another and to multitask the different apps. So using this toolbar, you can now much more easily bounce among the different apps, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, than you could beforehand.
That sounds like a real improvement. And what I'd like to see is a cloud version of Clippy, personally.
I'm not sure about that one.
We'll be watching this closely and see how they do in the cloud space, and hopefully some of these changes will improve the product for a lot of people. I want to thank you, Lance, for joining us and explaining the new Office Online.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You can find Lance at CNET.com and also at Lance Witt, WHIT, on Twitter. Well, HTC is working on 3 smartwatches. The company is planning to preview them privately to carriers at next week's Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, according to a report from Bloomberg. And Jessica, one of the interesting things about this is that each of these smartwatches is completely different, and one of them is reportedly based on Google Now. And I've always wanted a Google Now wristwatch. That makes a lot of sense to me. Do you think that that this is a good strategy for them to use Google's Google Now service in a watch?
You know, I think it's too early to say what software and hardware is really going to win on watches. I mean, the fact that I think HTC is coming up with 3 shows that everyone's kind of throwing stuff against the wall a little bit. But absolutely, Google Now services that sort of respond to audio and do things, I think are going to be critical with the interface in a watch device as well as glasses. So it'll be very interesting to see how that integration plays out. Of course, we're expecting watches from Apple, from Google, a new one from Samsung, I think at Mobile World Congress as well. So, it's going to be hard for HTC, I think, to do something that maybe has some of the sex appeal of what we're expecting an Apple might come out with this year. But we're seeing a lot in the space. And, you know, from people I talk to who are sort of early adopters using these things, it's hard to tell what's the differentiation for them, you know, why they're trying one versus the other. They all kind of look pretty clunky. Some have emails, some don't. So it's a little early to say, but I think it's very safe to say that that sort of Google Now-like functionality is going to be core to something like this working.
You should also know that the other 2 watches, one is based on the Qualcomm Talk. Remember that? It was kind of a reference design that Qualcomm came out with, and this is kind of based on that. And yet another, the 3rd one, is described as, quote, a music playing bracelet. That sounds compelling. So we'll see how that goes. Now, Jessica, I know you have to run to an appointment, and so I'm gonna cut you loose at this point. We're going to do another ad and then one more short story. But I want to thank you for coming on and let you go to your meeting so you're not late for that.
The news never stops. Thanks so much for having me.
That's right, and the information never sleeps, apparently.
Exactly. Thanks again, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, you can find Jessica's work and her company at theinformation.com. Well, in a second, we're going to do a follow-up on that story we told you about Tuesday regarding Apple and their potential, possible, kind of maybe merger talks with Tesla. But first, I want to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is an awesome site that lets you build an awesome website. If you've seen their 25 beautiful templates that they have, that is the starting point for you to build your own website. So you go in there and you choose your favorite template, the one that makes the most sense for the website that you're building. And then you use their easy-to-use tools for customizing it and modifying it so that you end up with a beautiful website. And it's not just pretty. It's not just a pretty face at Squarespace. It's a powerful hosting platform that they provide. They do all the hosting. And if you get a sudden surge of traffic, they will throw all of the server power at it to prevent it from going down. So the performance is always great. They always look fantastic on mobile devices, which is super, super important. The future is mobile, and mobile is taking over everything. So if your website doesn't look great on a mobile device, you're doing something wrong. You don't have to do anything on Squarespace to make your site look fantastic on a mobile device. They take care of all of that for you. They also have something really cool. It's called a logo creator tool. And this tool lets you, if you have a small company and you're starting out and you don't want to go through the expense and time-consuming and painful process of working, finding a designer, then working with a designer to do a tool, you should know that with the Squarespace logo creator tool, you can do it yourself. Even if you think you don't know how to be a designer, these tools are so intuitive and easy to use, and they give you so many shapes, colors, and other things to work with that you can very easily build your own logo and make it look really, really great. Squarespace also offers e-commerce. So if you want to sell things on your site, you want to put up an online store, they take care of all the hard part, and all you have to do is put up the products and charge what you will, services, whatever. They also have features that are great for nonprofits. So you can do a cash wedding registries or school fund drives. You don't have to come out with the next WhatsApp to sell things online or come out with a new startup. You can just do nonprofit things and anything you want, but they make it easy for you to accept payment via your website. The new Squarespace Metric app for iPhone and iPad lets you check site stats like page views, unique visitors, and social media follows. And they have another blog app that enables you to monitor and manage your site, including comments from mobile device, which is very, very important. So start a free 2-week trial today with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT2 for the month of February to get 10% off and to show your support for Tech News Today. And we thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember that a better website awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace website. Well, we reported Tuesday that Apple's mergers and acquisitions chief met with Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Well, yesterday Musk confirmed the meeting, but he refused to say whether or not the talk was about Apple buying Tesla. He did say that the acquisition of Tesla by any company is, quote, very unlikely, because he is very, very focused, of course, on building great cars, he says, and also a gigantic battery factory. Well, that's our show today. Make sure you send your news tips to our email address at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, post and upvote your favorite stories on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com, and find the rest of our social pages by searching for Tech News Today on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and YouTube. If you haven't already, subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT, and make sure you tune into our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific. We thank you for being here, and we will see you tomorrow.